They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Make sure you download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app for your Apple device, your iPhone, your iPads, and for your Androids as well. Get those in the app stores. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Take us wherever you go. 617-779-0985. Shaughnessy has a column up already. What are you laughing about?
Dan.
What's so funny?
Go down there and ask a question with a column written. Throwing all kind of different names and stuff.
Yeah, good on there.
Everybody wants to know, right? My mechanic.
Here's what
guy,
he wrote.
Guy pumps my gas. Guy cuts my meat.
This is probably going to appear in the printed paper tomorrow. Whoever still gets it.
This is
who's the last time you picked up a paper, by the way? Like an actual paper.
Oh, God.
Never. Almost never.
You know what? When Shaughnessy brings it in.
Yeah, and that's because he brought it in.
Here's
what he writes. Boston Globe. He says, I came in peace, truly. I like and respect Bill Belichick. Like most of you, I think he might be the greatest football coach who ever lived. But I just had to ask. And to the surprise of no one, he had no answer. He didn't want to go there. So it looks like we might never know why Malcolm Butler didn't play in Super Bowl 52. It's become one of the unsolved mysteries of all time. Along with the lost city of Atlantis, Stonehenge, and who killed JFK. There are theories all over the place, but we still have no definitive answer. He then says,
wait a minute.
What?
So like all the things that we don't know in this world, he goes to Atlantis, Stonehenge, and who killed JFK?
Well, yeah, those are good examples,
are they not? It's just, it's like old guy stuff. It's old guy stuff. There's some more current stuff, you know, like who's responsible for what, you know, in the last 10 years. Dan's going in the way
back. I saw a thing yesterday.
Dan
here's
loves
one more.
The way back machine.
Machu Picchu, right?
Machu Picchu.
There was a date yesterday that he missed, which was it was discovered 100 years ago yesterday. There's a truly
unsolved
thing.
There's so many dates that he missed yesterday.
Right?
You know, yesterday was Bobby Orr's birthday.
You ever seen that stuff that those Incas built, by the way?
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
How
I think
the ancient runways?
I don't think they were human.
How about the runways?
I have a belief that they were not human.
They were the real first ancient aliens.
They're ancient aliens.
Ancient aliens.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How about the
we're
runways?
Distracted now.
The runways, though, dude.
Things that are built that, I mean, we can't even replicate now.
We didn't even have flying machines then, but yet they had runways and
for
ramps.
What? Yeah, for what?
To get off the ground.
For the spaceships.
Land it.
He says, 1 week after the Super Bowl, the Butler question greeted me at spring training in Florida. And every day since, Alex Cora wanted to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play. David Price wanted to know. Dustin Pedroia. I think even David Ortiz wanted to know, but Big Poppy isn't speaking to me, so I was spared another question that had no answer.
Great.
He said, so again, it's spring training. Tommy Harper wanted to know. Jim Lomborg.
Gentleman Jim.
Lenny Clark.
Hey, Dan.
Joseph Abood. Bobby Orr. Danny Ainge. Cam Neely. A-Rod. Bob Cousy. My mailman and physician. The butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. They all want to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play.
Wheelhouse Shaughnessy.
And
kudos.
So this is his column that he wrote after the exchange. This is the, I guess we're not going to play that sound.
Okay.
Give me a second. He writes this after the minute and 32 seconds, as he writes in his column, there was a back and forth that happened between him and Bill Belichick this morning.
Dan did his job. You know, he goes down. He says, I'm going to get the sound bite. I'm going to get the minute 32 seconds. I'm going to get up, pick up my bag, pick up my Diet Coke. And I shake it in my glass with my ice. And I'm going to go off on the side. And I'm going to write my little article.
There it is. Hear it.
Well, I know you're all about this year. And we all understand that. This year.
That's right.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask about last year.
Yeah, and last year is last year. I'm not focused on last year. Yeah.
What about the fact that everywhere we go, folks want to ask about Malcolm Butler? I mean, sports coaches, players, university. You're a sports fan.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That's multiple months ago.
Is there going to be any more explanation about why he didn't play?
focused on training camp.
Did you do it any differently?
Training camp? Well, we're getting started. We're working on that right now. We'll do the best we can.
And does it matter to you? Do you care that the fans want to know more about this?
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've always done in the past. You know, every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I could for this football team, and I'll continue to do that. And right now, my focus is on the 2018 season, not 2017, not 2014, not 2007, not 2004, not 2001, not 2000. I'm not focused on any of those seasons. They're done.
And for this season's team, is it important for you to address the Malcolm Butler thing with your team?
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that, do the best that I can for our football team. That's my job, and that's my responsibility. That's what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
Declines all of the above. All of the above, and the most important one in there is about your players, and do you feel like you have to address it with your players before the year starts? To truly put it behind you and get it out of the way. Answering questions to the media and fans, that's different than answering to your own players.
See, it's interesting because you'll say that, well, he never really addresses anything. He won't address a trade with the team the next day. It's usually just that shock and awe that has to take effect with the team, and it's up to them to figure out because that's sort of a message. But remember in the documentary, the Belichick,
Parcells,
not the 30 for not, no, not the two Bills, the one that they did on NFL Network.
Which one?
Football life. Bill Belichick.
2009.
Where they, thank you. The ones where he had, the post game Indy where he was in the next day, the team meeting, and he addressed 4th and 2. He said, understand this, at that time, I'm going to always do and make a decision. Because I believe in the team, and that's the decision I'm going to make that's for the betterment of the team. He addressed 4th and 2 with the team that next morning.
That's not really addressing
but
it,
but he said, people are going to say stuff, and it's going to be out there. Just understand this. I'm going to do what I feel that is right to win. I will always do that for you.
What about when he's wrong?
Is that
what about when he gets
it?
Something wrong?
No, I know, but he got that wrong. He was wrong that day.
But he never said I was wrong. He never said, I'm sorry. I screwed up. We all screw up.
Leaders screw up.
Like, don't you think that goes a long way? When you feel like someone's done you wrong, they say, you know what? I'm sorry. I screwed up.
Right.
All right. I can forgive you. At least you admit it was a screw up and we move on. They didn't get that on 4th and 2. And they definitely haven't gotten it now.
Does he even have to tell them? You know what? Your asses were all on that plane when we left for Minnesota. Some guy wasn't. He didn't come down till the
Here's
third
the problem, day. Though.
Why should I have to play?
He's the coach and he's going to keep everybody accountable, right? Isn't it an organization that holds everybody accountable? Yeah. Players are always held accountable.
Do your job.
I think there are players that are veterans that have been around a long time that say, all right, we like that. Everyone's held accountable. Are you ever held accountable? Do you ever hold yourself accountable? At the very least, can you at least explain what you were thinking on this?
See, it's interesting.
Can you at least give it, even if you don't think you were wrong and you think you were 100% in the right, can you at least let me in and pull back the curtain a little bit to let me understand it? As a player, again, not fans, not media, because I think that is very debatable if we deserve an answer. A lot of people have said that. A lot of callers have said they deserve it. I understand why you feel that way.
It's part of being a human.
But I'll tell you who definitely deserves it more, and that's the guys who go out and play for you every
day. Yeah, and it's about being human and not just being a robot, not just being a robotic player. I mean, I thought you got pretty good snippets on like that Tom versus Time. Here I am. We lose the game. I'm getting my hands still treated. My Achilles is still getting rubbed out, and I'm laying there, and I'm asking myself, it's about convictions, right? Who are you doing this for? What are we doing this for? And that's coming from Brady.
The phone lines are open. Grab one, 617-779-0985. Belichick also today talked about Jimmy Garoppolo with all the reports that have come out from Bleacher Report and SI in recent days. We'll get to the sound on that and your calls next.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I understand that you do want to talk about this season, but in the last few days, a lot has come out about Jimmy Garoppolo, some of the trade and the fall from that. One of the things that came out said you would text him after every win last year. Just curious, is that true, and have you maintained a good relationship with Jimmy since he's left the team?
Yeah. Again, Ben, those are things that happened months ago, and honestly, I'm not too focused on October, November, December of 2017, trying to get our team ready to go for training camp, and that's where I'm at.
Looking to this
year, I'm not going to engage in stuff that's happened 8 months. I mean, you know, we could talk about a million things that happened 20 years ago. I'm not there.
Bill Belichick declining to talk about his text message relationship with his part-time lover and secret boyfriend, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to take a pass on
that
one today.
That's what you said.
What do you mean what I said?
Part-time lover.
I brought that up.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's having an affair on Tom Brady with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what he's doing.
Ooh,
wow, that ended hard.
Wow. Job, Tom.
That's a shot. That is a shot right there, Jim.
Is there an issue with the board, Jim?
No issue with the board. It just sounds different in your headphones than it actually sounds on the air.
Oh, so. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys hear the music until it runs out.
Oh, always?
Oh. Always, yeah.
Oh, that's weird because I've noticed the music has been playing for a very long time, and I'm like, wow, we're letting these run a long time.
Nope, they're fading them down, and you guys are just hearing them in your headphones. That's all.
This thing on? Our chief engineer, Dennis, is looking at me right now with a death stare.
Chief. Sub chief.
You know what? We should just start calling him chief.
Hey, chief. No. Nope.
I think that might
chief
be a thing.
Nope.
Chief. Sub chief.
No, I got problems. No,
here's why Zoe can't use chief for one particular person, because he wants to be able to use it for six different people who he doesn't know any of their names.
Right.
Hey, what's up, chief?
What's up, buddy?
Hey there.
So Tonto.
Call him Dad, Deputy.
No. Zoe does not use the Tonto one anymore.
It's the Steve Burton test.
Oh, yeah. He's the king of that.
That's up there, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey, pal.
What's his name? What's that guy's name right there? Steve, what's the name of the photog that you've worked the last 11 years with and every single remote? What's his first name? Oh, it's... it's
buddy.
It's my pal.
What's up, guy?
It's my man.
One of those deals.
It's my man.
So Bill wouldn't talk about the text message relationship with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because that's private. That's a private matter. That's what he does in his off time. That's what he does when he goes home late at night after everyone's gone to bed.
So I'm going to write that down. So I do not ask him that for all access.
Hey Jimmy.
Don't.
Hey, Jimmy.
Do not get into Garoppolo text.
Jimmy, it's Bill. I saw you today, buddy. Yeah. I'm up late.
Yeah.
I'm just catching the late sports center with the highlights. I see you, buddy. You're doing great.
Nice throwing.
I love you.
Nice throwing. The look away.
Hope you know that.
Nice throwing that boot across the grain.
Love Dad.
Stop it.
Love Dad. That's what it is. These two. So he didn't want to answer that. Nobody asked today about the Shanahan comments. I'm disappointed in that, although there will be more opportunity to do it in the coming days, right?
He's not going to tell you details about it.
Do you know when Bill talks again?
Does he talk...
I think tomorrow.
I feel like check. A lot. Like he or talks Friday, a lot Friday. This week.
I think it's Friday.
First full day. First full day of practice. He talks.
Will he talk tomorrow again?
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now.
Tomorrow. Yeah, please do. He talks a bunch. There's a ton of availability coming up in the coming.
I think
days.
He's available every morning. I do when they have a full practice.
Yeah. So he'll hit the podium again, and there will be all kinds of opportunity. I don't know how many people were there today. I didn't get a look at that.
So tomorrow 8:45.
Okay, so he speaks again tomorrow at 8:45.
Four straight good days of work. Saturday, Sunday are going to be full pads. They'll go out a little bit. Not that they're going to hit, but it'll be as close to hitting as you get. And then you get the stadium practice Monday night.
Just so you know, we will be there live for every public open practice.
Absolutely.
We'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there Friday. Start of the week is a little different. They've got the season ticket holder practice, but they'll pick it up again publicly at the end of next week, and we'll be there.
Which would tell me Tuesday would be probably their scheduled day off, and then they would go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. And we'll probably be there Wednesday through Friday.
And our weekend shows are there all weekends.
Excellent.
It's great.
Weekend Love shows it. Will be there. So we've got you fully covered here on 98.5. The
Taylor
Sports
Swift
Show.
For three straight nights.
Yeah. And so that's a little awkward. You've got how many shows?
Three.
There's three shows.
She banged that place out three times.
Has anyone else ever done three shows like that back to back to back?
She's good.
I only think a two
show.
Yeah. I know that a lot of acts have done two shows. That makes sense, right?
Chesney and maybe Bruce.
Chesney's only two nights.
Okay.
And it's not really like totally full. Yeah.
So that will be busy tomorrow.
He's no Taylor Swift.
The building will be very busy tomorrow. I am expecting enormous crowds once again, as there always is. There's always enormous crowds.
Especially the first day. Big, big crowd.
Yeah.
That big unveiling of the herd and they open the gates and everyone sprints to their seats.
Can't wait.
Love it. When that first guy that falls down that hill because the morning dew on that grass on the hillside of the grass.
Yeah.
And he's running and his feet go straight out and he lands right on his ass and he slides down.
It'd be one thing. You know what,
Jim? He runs over that one kid that's trying to get an autograph.
It'd be one thing if you were doing it to get a great view of practice, but you know that's not the case.
No, autographs, right?
Yeah, they're doing it for the autographs. Like
the one guy carrying the bag of stuff.
You can't
and he
do
falls.
That when you're competing with children.
It's right? almost as good as the Times Square New Year's Eve ball.
You can't do. No.
Yes.
Shut up, Sarge.
It's awesome.
Jesus.
Happy New Year.
When is Hardy back?
Tomorrow.
Thank God.
But you guys are at Gillette.
And still, we'll have him back here, which is a relief
right,
in
good.
a lot of ways.
He won't be yelling Happy New Year.
Well, it's Happy New Year tomorrow.
Show.
Great day.
Thank God. So he didn't want to talk about it, but I'm hoping somebody will ask Bill about the Shanahan's reaction to asking for a second. Somebody should. You don't think that's a question that needs to be asked?
I think the Butler one's
is
bigger.
It true? Yeah. Is that true? Do you believe you maximize the value? He probably won't answer it, but I hope it is asked by somebody tomorrow. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Dave, who's in Worcester. Dave.
Hey, Beetle. So if you buy into the theory that he wanted to keep Garoppolo like I do, I think he calls a friend and gets some sort of a deal, not the best deal he can get, and he goes to Bob Kraft and says, this is what I can get, hoping that Bob will say, that's not enough. We need to figure out how to keep him. And to his surprise, Bob says, okay. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. That's my theory.
At least that's a theory that makes sense.
That would make sense.
Right?
Yeah.
At least that one makes sense. Good one, Dave, because I've heard a lot of ridiculous theories on this. Oh, he did it to spite the owner.
Right.
Why?
It's like saying, hey, honey,
we're
selling the third car. It's worth $15,000, but I got a guy that'll take it for $5,000 right
so,
now.
So, right.
No, keep
right,
it.
Right, keep it.
Keep it another month.
Keep it.
What's the matter with you?
I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it played out that way, but at least that has some logic behind it. Hey, the best we can get for this guy is a second round pick.
Mm.
You know, are we sure that we want to do this? And the answer is, yeah, we got to trade him. So take the pick. We move on. If that is true, and now Robert Kraft reads these reports and reads what Mike Shanahan says or believes in the report about Cleveland, the multiple reports about Cleveland's offer, which has been, again, reported again by MMQB here in the last day, doesn't that make somebody mad? Like, whoa, what are you doing? You didn't get the best possible offer? You told me all they were willing to give was a second. They would have offered up more than that if you had asked. Why didn't you ask for more?
Stupid.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're telling me that this isn't a question that needs to be asked?
He knew
it. Of course it does.
He knew it. They knew it. They knew that he was the next guy in waiting. They knew he was a franchise quarterback. So you gift wrapped a franchise quarterback for a second round pick. They were stunned by the offer.
Yeah.
And they ended up signing a guy for $137 million. He's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. And you gave him up for a second.
That's not like signing Josh Allen or one of these guys, and or Baker Mayfield who just signed for $32 million guaranteed. Jimmy Garoppolo got five times as much as that.
Wayne in Grafton. Wayne, how are you, buddy?
Wayne.
I haven't talked to you guys in a long time.
It's been a long time.
I can see you now. Beetle, I'm waving to you right now. Are you going to wave back?
Thank you, Wayne. I'll wave back to you, Wayne. To the people in the hallway.
Okay. Well, you must be really happy. I mean, you're only like about a short ways from where you live. I mean, you remember, I grew up in Dorchester, too.
Yeah, I'm not there anymore, though.
Nice
I was actually just talking
nice
about
town.
This. If I still was living in Dorchester, I'd be like 4 minutes away.
Ah, I see.
Now
I
I'm like
see.
12 yeah, minutes I, away.
Okay, I wave to you guys. I'm waving to Saj. I got a thing for Saj. I know he's a wrestling buff. I want to see him in spandex, but that's a whole other story. But
there
I have
goes
a
Wayne. Whoa, hey, okay. How's the dog walking industry going, Wayne? You still got all those dogs you walk?
Yeah, I walk the dogs and pick up their crap, and then I work at a package store at night. You can picture that, and then I play in the band on the weekends.
Don't drink the profits.
A plastic bag?
Don't start drinking the profits.
Do you pick it up in a plastic bag where you put your hand in backwards through the bag?
Yeah, I put my hands in backwards. I do that with a lot of other things, too, but that's another story. But, Zoe, I have a football question for you.
All right.
Considering Jimmy G, I know it's old news about that young lady that he was with. But, you know, he could incur a serious injury. I told this to Felger the other day. You start waving those milk duds around, you could get a concussion or put an eye out. But if you have a pool party, you should have
he's not drowned. He's not going to drown. No way.
Yeah, flotation device. You know, get here near one of those sharks, throw her in front, and you're all set.
Nope. We're going to leave it there, Wayne. Wayne, dirty old man.
Pervert.
Wayne, he emails me all the time.
It's bizarre.
Yesterday, we were talking about Ted Williams. What does he do? He emails me a picture of him and Ted Williams when he looks to be like 7 or 8 years old.
Oh.
Him standing with Ted Williams.
It's kind of cool.
Wayne. He sends a lot of other inappropriate stuff.
Of course he does.
Dirty old man. 617-779-0985. Sarge has headlines. I promise we'll get right back to your calls now. Bill Belichick on the topic of Malcolm Mitchell this morning. Malcolm Mitchell still with the team as of right now. There's been some reports about his future being in doubt, having a procedure on Monday. Patriots trying to move him, maybe for a late-round draft pick. The forecast on his career in New England is not a good one. Bill Belichick didn't like the question, though, for some reason. He's upset, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what I think that reason is.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
It came from somebody within his own organization.
Well,
people within
the
organization
too.
Are talking about it. And he doesn't want the player to feel like it's playing out publicly.
Or player means a lot to him.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the player to start feeling like they're bailing on him and that he's, you know, suffering some sort of public embarrassment over a knee injury. And that's why he's aggravated. He's aggravated that someone inside his own place is talking about it.
And he wants this guy to succeed and do it at a damn good pace because he's part of the Chandler Jones trade. You know, it's Malcolm Mitchell, Joe Tooney, and Cooper. Cooper's gone. Tooney's probably... You know, not going to get the start. It's going to be probably Isaiah Wynn, along with Shaq Mason at the guards, with David Andrews at center. And who knows who's starting at left tackle, but it's probably going to be Brown with Cannon at right. I mean, that's probably going to be our offensive line day one. I wouldn't be shocked if that's it. And, and if Malcolm Mitchell's not going to be part of this, then there's two out of three already gone from the Chandler Jones deal.
Patriots got Jonathan Cooper and a second-round pick in the deal with Arizona. For Chandler Jones. They then traded that pick for additional picks. That second round pick turned into Joe Tooney and Malcolm Mitchell. So that's how you get to that point. So
yeah,
Cooper, Mitchell, Tooney.
That's how you grade it
for Chandler Jones.
There's your scoreboard.
Is that because it was a bad trade or was it because
you weren't going to be able to keep the player? So you found a player that helped you win a Super Bowl.
Or my question is it because they made a bad pick? What's worse, the picks or the trade?
I don't mean you're picking two and a fourth, so you're gambling at that stage anyway. Those aren't locks.
I'll tell you what I think is worse. I think the trade is worse because you could say, well, why wouldn't you keep a guy who can get to the quarterback?
Defensive
and a guy
star.
You just keep him for the year and let him walk.
Right.
That's what you kind of have to gauge.
Well, that's the whole Garoppolo thing. Then why not keep Garoppolo for the whole year and let him walk?
True.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play, whereas Chandler Jones was going to play.
Chandler Jones is an everyday player.
Chandler Jones is going to play. He was going to play for this team.
Yeah.
I would say this, though. You got a year out of Malcolm Mitchell, and you got a game out of Malcolm Mitchell in the Super Bowl when you could throw to the sidelines with Malcolm Mitchell and have him come up with some big plays and big catches in the greatest Super Bowl comeback of all time.
Yeah. Historic.
Was that worth it to give up Chandler Jones?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Patriots didn't. So there are some pros and cons here, right? It's not exactly the clearest, oh, that was a bad trade. Oh, that was a great trade. Yeah. Maybe it was equal. Somewhere in the middle.
Both sides benefited. That's a team that really doesn't even sniff the playoffs, but yet they have a defensive end.
But here's what we do know.
In sacks.
Arizona got
that's
the best
for them.
Arizona still got the best player in the deal.
They got a better player.
They got the best player out of anybody.
Yeah,
and they re-signed him and they got him.
Yeah, former first round pick and plays at a high level.
And he is. He continues to play at a high level.
Sure
he
does.
Thrives in that defense. Tony is in Shirley. Tony.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hear me out, please.
Hey.
I've been waiting a long time, and I'm always quick.
Okay.
So listen, number one. Shaughnessy, shout out. You should be on the show more. He keeps it real. Number two is, see, I've been rehearsing. I still get nervous all the years I listen. Oh, so about Butler and Garoppolo. They're both crying to the bank. Let it go. Bury that dead horse. Enough's enough. I don't think I'm the only one. And number three, final thought. I'm going to be off quick. is you guys are on TV. You wonder why I'm listening to the radio? Because I'm not putting anybody down, but I don't know what Einstein is about those mics, man. They're bigger than your heads. I love you guys. I just can't see you, so that's why I'm listening to the radio.
You mean do this?
All right, Tony. Appreciate the call.
I do this.
That's don't sound good.
Tony can see me. See, part of the thing is, people looking at TV, you have to talk right here. Right here where this little dot is.
Because
if we go on top like this, it doesn't sound good. Sounds
is that right?
Hollow.
Oh, yeah, what?
So it's bam. You know
why? Because
right
these, were
the base.
These were upside down. They were low, in the other direction.
Low.
Listen, I just want to make this announcement to everybody here. I made one announcement yesterday. I'm not waving through the window. If I put a hole through this computer monitor with this microphone, it's not my fault.
Right.
Not my responsibility. I keep moving this computer over, but I'm telling you, Zoe, a couple of times I've banged the microphone. You hear it, too, when I do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Why don't you flex it the other way like I did? See, flex it this way. There you go.
Because then I can't get underneath to type on the keyboard.
I know.
But I'm just telling you right now that if I shatter this computer monitor,
new things.
It's not my fault.
Right. Well, they got a bunch of them.
This is hazardous.
There's so much stuff here.
Right there, that edge of it goes right into the screen.
I'm still wearing flat screens in here.
I'm preemptively getting myself out of the trouble I know I'll be in when I smash the computer monitor by accident.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm not going to be malicious. I'm not going to throw the Yeti cup across the room. It will be by accident. It won't be because I did it on purpose.
I didn't hit the camera. That was a warning.
A warning shot was fired.
You get one.
A warning shot was fired.
Don't forget that.
The microphones look that big on TV. By the way, I wore my favorite polo shirt today.
You did?
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
Why is it your favorite?
It just is. I've had this shirt a long time. I love this shirt. It's very comfortable. It's very nice.
People could send.
It's got a great material to it.
Welcome to send me shirts if you want me to
wear
them on TV.
I wear this shirt more than any other shirt I own. I do. I wear it all the time.
Yeah, Mr. Sid yelling at me, get in. You got to get
your shirts. I wear it so much that like as soon as it comes out of the laundry, you have that clean pile of laundry. I'm like, oh, give me that one. That's my shirt, man.
So that's the ace.
Yeah, Jim Irons has shirts now?
His wife does for him.
Irons.
Because he's on TV.
Yep. So she won't allow me to go on TV with that wrinkled shirt.
This shirt is what'd you call it? The ace there, Sarge?
The ace, yeah.
Right? The number one shirt. If it's in the clean pile of laundry, I will always reach for it. It's just for some reason my favorite shirt.
Why is the intern's head so shiny?
I wore it
Why is
so
your
much.
So freaking shiny.
In the summer months, I wear this thing like once a week at least.
Yeah.
And to the point where.
It's a nice. I got chastised
by Comcast when I was on Felger and Mass, and I used to wear this shirt all the time.
Why?
Really?
Because I was wearing it too much. I was wearing it like once a week. It was a problem for them.
You should wear them stupid sweaters.
Sorry, NBC Sports Boston now. I don't want to keep calling it Comcast.
Oh. It was when you were on Felger Mass.
It was Comcast Sports. That same people, same company. So I'd like to dedicate my shirt today.
Same shirt too, huh?
I'd like to dedicate this shirt to Len Mead, formerly of Comcast Sportsnet New England, still employed by NBC Sports. I'd like to dedicate my shirt choice today to you because you were really pissed about this shirt many years ago. So much so that he sent me an email with screen grabs of an entire like 60-day period of me and all the times I wore the shirts. Like he was tracking me.
Oh my gosh.
Tracking me with this
shirt. We'll take some NBC Sports Boston gear too.
Oh yeah, no kidding. He didn't offer that up. He didn't offer that up at the time. He didn't offer a solution. He just bitched and complained to me about it.
I got some nice stuff. Phil Perry used to come in on Fridays during football season with some nice stuff.
And offer me Jack. I ain't got nothing. No, not even like a little allowance. Like, hey, do you need new shirts? We'll give you the money to go buy you some new shirts. Not like they were paying me anything to be on that show. So I dedicate it to him today. This one's for you, Len Mead. This shirt's for you, baby. I know he's going to hear this too. Someone will tell him and send him this, and he'll be pissed off at me for it.
Which Mr. I
love you.
I
love you, Len. Hope you're doing well.
Should I go to one of Newton Center or to Seaport down there?
I'll go to the headquarters, Newton.
Seaport's got a new
swanky.
Down
the street, yeah,
it's a swanky. No, it's not down the street.
It's not far.
Down the street here.
It's a lot closer there than it is to Newton.
That's a good point.
We got a bunch of football stuff on the table. In fact, we want to touch on something that's a little out of left field football-wise. As it relates to running backs, this following the news of Todd Gurley getting paid. Stupid deal.
Todd Gurley.
And Saquon Barkley getting paid, you know, being a high draft pick. Is it smart to be paying running backs? Naturally, my immediate answer is no. What are you paying running backs for? No, that may hold up with some statistical or just listing Super Bowl running backs. Jim Louth took this upon himself to do. We got to get to it. We'll do that. We'll continue talking. Red Sox stuff, the trade they pulled off today. Joe Kelly sucks. That's still in the conversation. And obviously everything that's going on with the Patriots leading up to camp tomorrow. That's on the way.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick on the topic of Malcolm Mitchell this morning. Malcolm Mitchell still with the team as of right now. There's been some reports about his future being in doubt, having a procedure on Monday. Patriots trying to move him, maybe for a late-round draft pick. The forecast on his career in New England is not a good one. Bill Belichick didn't like the question, though, for some reason. He's upset, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what I think that reason is.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
It came from somebody within his own organization.
Well, I think
people within
the
organization
too.
Are talking about it. And he doesn't want the player to feel like it's playing out publicly.
Or player means a lot to him.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the player to start feeling like they're bailing on him and that he's, you know, suffering some sort of public embarrassment over a knee injury. And that's why he's aggravated. He's aggravated that someone inside his own place is talking about it.
And he wants this guy to succeed and do it at a damn good pace because he's part of the Chandler Jones trade. You know, it's Malcolm Mitchell, Joe Tooney, and Cooper. Cooper's gone. Tooney's probably, you know, not going to get the start. It's going to be probably Isaiah Wynn, along with Shaq Mason at the guards, with David Andrews at center. And who knows who's starting at left tackle, but it's probably going to be Brown with Cannon at right. I mean, that's probably going to be our offensive line day one. I wouldn't be shocked if that's it. And and if Malcolm Mitchell's not going to be part of this, then there's two out of three already gone from the Chandler Jones deal.
Patriots got Jonathan Cooper and a second-round pick in the deal with Arizona for Chandler Jones. They then traded that pick for additional picks. That second-round pick turned into Joe Tooney and Malcolm Mitchell. So that's how you get to that point. So
yeah,
Cooper, Mitchell, Tooney.
That's how you grade it
for Chandler Jones.
There's your scoreboard.
Is that because it was a bad trade, or was it because
you weren't going to be able to keep the player? So you found a player that helped you win a Super Bowl.
Or my question is it because they made a bad pick? What's worse, the picks or the trade?
I don't mean you're picking two and a fourth, so you're gambling at that stage anyway. Those are, you know, those aren't locks.
I'll tell you what I think is worse. I think the trade is worse because you could say, well, why wouldn't you keep a guy who can get to the quarterback?
Defensive
and a guy
star.
You just keep him for the year and let him walk.
Right.
That's what you kind of have to gauge.
Well, that's the whole Garoppolo thing. Then why not keep Garoppolo for the whole year and let him walk?
True.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play, whereas Chandler Jones was going to play.
Chandler Jones is an everyday player.
Chandler Jones is going to play. He was going to play for this team.
Yeah.
I would say this, though. You got a year out of Malcolm Mitchell, and you got a game out of Malcolm Mitchell in the Super Bowl when you could throw to the sidelines with Malcolm Mitchell and have him come up with some big plays and big catches in the greatest Super Bowl comeback of all time.
Yeah. Historic.
Was that worth it to give up Chandler Jones?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Patriots didn't. So there are some pros and cons here, right? It's not exactly the clearest, oh, that was a bad trade. Oh, that was a great trade. Yeah, maybe it was equal. Somewhere in the middle.
Both sides benefited. That's a team that really doesn't even sniff the playoffs, but yet they have a defensive end.
But here's what we do know.
In sacks.
Arizona got
that's
the best.
For them.
Arizona still got the best player in the deal.
They got a better player.
They got the best player out of anybody.
Yeah.
And they re-signed him, and they got him.
Yeah, former first-round pick. And plays at a high level.
And he is. He continues to play at a high level.
Sure
he
does.
Thrives in that defense. Tony is in Shirley. Tony!
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hear me out, please.
Hey.
I've been waiting a long time, and I'm always quick.
Okay.
So, listen, number one, Shaughnessy, shout out. You should be on the show more. He keeps it real. Number two is, see, I've been rehearsing. I still get nervous all the years I listen. Oh, so about Butler and Garoppolo. They're both crying to the bank. Let it go. Bury that dead horse. Enough's enough. I don't think I'm the only one. And number three, final thought, I'm going to be off quick, is you guys are on TV. You wonder why I'm listening to the radio? Because I'm not putting anybody down, but I don't know the eyesight is about those mics, man. They're bigger than your heads. I love you guys. I just can't see you. So that's why I'm listening to the radio.
Let me do this.
All right, Tony. Appreciate the call.
I do this.
That's don't sound good.
Tony can see me. See, part of the thing is, people looking at TV, you have to talk right here. Right here where this little dot is.
Because
if we go on top like this, it doesn't sound good.
Is that right?
Hollow.
Oh, yeah, what?
So it's bam. You
know why? Because
right
these, were
the base.
These were upside down. They were in the other direction.
Low.
I Listen, I just want to make this announcement to everybody here. I made one announcement yesterday. I'm not waving through the window. If I put a hole through this computer monitor with this microphone, it's not my fault.
Right.
Not my responsibility. I keep moving this computer over, but I'm telling you, Zoe, a couple of times I've banged the microphone. You hear it, too, when I do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Why don't you flex it the other way like I did? See, flex it this way. There you go.
Because then I can't get underneath to type on the keyboard.
I know.
But I'm just telling you right now that if I shatter this computer monitor,
new things.
It's not my fault.
Right. Well, they got a bunch of them.
This is hazardous.
There's so much stuff here.
Right there, that edge of it goes right into the screen.
I'm still wearing flat screens in here.
I'm preemptively getting myself out of the trouble I know I'll be in when I smash the computer monitor by accident.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, no. Whoa, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be malicious. I'm not going to throw the Yeti cup across the room. It will be by accident. It won't be because I did it on purpose.
I didn't hit the camera. That was a warning.
A warning shot was fired.
You get one.
A warning shot was fired.
Don't forget that.
The microphones look that big on TV. By the way, I wore my favorite polo shirt today.
You did?
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
Why is it your favorite?
It just is. I've had this shirt a long time. That's love this shirt. It's very comfortable. It's very nice.
People can send.
It's got a great material to it.
Welcome to send me shirts if you want me to wear them on TV.
I wear this shirt more than any other shirt I own. I do. I wear it all the time.
Hey, Mr. Sid yelling at me, get in.
I wear it so much that like as soon as it comes out of the laundry, you have that clean pile of laundry. I'm like, oh, give me that one. That's my shirt, man.
So that's the ace.
Yeah, Jim Irons has shirts now?
His wife does for him.
Irons.
Because he's on TV.
Yep. So she won't allow me to go on TV with that wrinkled shirt.
This shirt is what'd you call it? The ace there, Sarge?
The ace, yeah.
Right? The number one shirt. If it's in the clean pile of laundry, I will always reach for it. It's just for some reason my favorite shirt.
Why is the intern's head so shiny?
I wore it so much.
Why is your forehead so freaking shiny?
In the summer months, I wear this thing like once a week at least.
Yeah.
And to the point where
it's a nice. I got chastised
by Comcast when I was on Felger and Mass, and I used to wear this shirt all the time.
Why?
Really?
Because I was wearing it too much. I was wearing it like once a week. Ooh. It was a problem for them.
You should wear them stupid sweaters.
Sorry, NBC Sports Boston now. I don't want to keep calling it Comcast.
Oh, it was when you were on Felger Mass.
It was Comcast Sports. That same people, same company. So I'd like to dedicate my shirt today.
Same shirt too, huh?
I'd like to dedicate this shirt to Len Mead, formerly of Comcast Sportsnet New England, still employed by NBC Sports. I'd like to dedicate my shirt choice today to you because you were really pissed about this shirt many years ago. So much so that he sent me an email with screen grabs of an entire like 60-day period of me and all the times I wore the shirts. Mm. Like he was tracking me.
Oh my gosh.
Tracking me with this
shirt. We'll take some NBC Sports Boston gear too.
Oh yeah, no kidding. He didn't offer that up. He didn't offer that up at the time. He didn't offer a solution. He just bitched and complained to me about it.
I got some nice stuff. Phil Perry used to come in on Fridays during football season with some nice stuff.
And not for me, Jack. I ain't got nothing. No, not even like a little allowance. Like, hey, do you need new shirts? We'll give you the money to go buy you some new shirts. Not like they were paying me anything to be on that show. So I dedicate it to him today. This one's for you, Len Mead. This shirt's for you, baby. I know he's going to hear this too. Someone will tell him and send him this, and he'll be pissed off at me for it.
What's Mr. Sid?
I love you, Len. Hope you're doing well.
Should I go to one in Newton Center or to Seaport down there?
I'll go to the headquarters, Newton.
Seaport's
swanky. Down the street, yeah.
Yeah, it's a swanky. No, it's not down the street.
It's not far. Down the street here. It's a lot closer there than it is to Newton.
That's a good point.
We got a bunch of football stuff on the table. In fact, we want to touch on something that's a little out of left field football-wise. As it relates to running backs, this following the news of Todd Gurley getting paid. Stupid deal.
Todd Gurley.
And Saquon Barkley getting paid, you know, being a high draft pick. Is it smart to be paying running backs? Naturally, my immediate answer is no. What are you paying running backs for? No, that may hold up with some statistical or just listing Super Bowl running backs. Jim Lout took this upon himself to do. We got to get to it. We'll do that. We'll continue talking. Red Sox stuff, the trade they pulled off today. Joe Kelly sucks. That's still in the conversation. And obviously everything that's going on with the Patriots leading up to camp tomorrow. That's on the way.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Truck Month is back.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
You're 617-779-0985. A lot of running backs getting paid recently, including Todd Gurley, who got a huge monster deal. $45 million guaranteed in his deal with the Rams. And that was our reaction to it yesterday when that news broke during the show.
Yeah, pretty God he hasn't hurt his shoulder, hurt his hammy.
I mean, right away, you hear that and you're like, what?
Well, this coming after you. You paid Brandon Cooks. You paid this. What is Aaron Donald thinking? Rams had to release a statement because of the Gurley signing to not offend Aaron Donald.
Isn't that nuts?
Just wanted to let you know that Aaron Donald's a big, big part of what we want to be and what we are here in the future. And you know, we're working continuously with his representatives to get a long-term deal
but
done.
But you just signed a running back and a receiver to insane.
You're going to have to pay Goff.
Big-time money.
At some point, you're going to have to pay Goff.
You should have prioritized Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You just should have.
Yeah.
This is coming after Saquon Barkley signed his four-year rookie deal. Now, this is slotted, so this isn't like a shock. But because you drafted, if you're the New York Giants, you drafted a running back second overall, which means you had to pay him $31.2 million fully guaranteed. It includes a $20.76 million signing bonus. $15 million of it paid out immediately.
Oh, by the way.
Holy smokes.
Newsflash for all LA Ram fans.
Yeah.
Camp opens today. Guess who didn't show up? He's holding out. Aaron Donald, yeah. Your number one defensive player.
Shocker.
Keep signing your offensive threats.
Man. Signing Todd Gurley or prioritizing Aaron Donald.
Man, Jared, you see how fast Cookie looks on that strike route? He's fast, man.
He's fast.
He's fast, huh?
He's fast.
Yeah.
Here's Jim Lau's thoughts.
Let's give
today.
$80 million.
This is pretty much an email of the day.
No, we'll give him $88 million. $88 million.
It's 8.459.
It's okay, but I like 88.
Big
Lynn Swan fan.
They make it 88.
Yeah.
Fast.
It's real fast.
All right, Jim Love, email of the day.
Email of the day.
He says, have we finally hit the moment where the running back position is back? You and I, Zoe, have talked about this. The running back position is making a little bit of a comeback. Its importance is more now than, let's say, 10 years ago. It is. It's becoming a thing again where teams are putting
I think this directly coincides whether, and the question you have to ask, do you or don't you have a quarterback?
He says, are these teams just plain dumb for paying so much money and drafting running backs so high? That applies to what we saw yesterday. The Rams paid Todd Gurley. The Giants drafted Saquon Barkley second and then proceeded to give him a big rookie deal. It's eye-opening that Saquon Barkley's rookie deal was fully guaranteed and placed him in the top five annually before. Again, the Todd Gurley deal went down in terms of AAV. He writes, I also look at the fact that Barkley was taken second overall, making the third straight year that a running back was drafted in the top five. Even the Patriots drafted one in the first round. On the other side, when you look at the Super Bowl champions, it doesn't seem to make sense. And Jim put together a list of the running backs on the Super Bowl winning teams.
Oh, this was fun.
Going back to 2000, this millennium.
This is an interesting exercise. This is pretty good.
Eagles last year had Blunt and Ajayi. The Patriots 2 years ago, Blunt, White, and Lewis. The Broncos in 15 had C.J. Anderson, who's, middle of the road.
Yeah.
Nothing special. He's had some good flashes.
Yeah, it's about a defense. You won because of your defense.
2014, Blunt and Vereen. And then this hit me right then and there. LeGarrette Blount has been in the backfield for three of the last four Super Bowl winning teams. Could you offer any better evidence about why you don't need high-priced, high-performance running backs? Look at the three of the last four Super Bowl winners had LeGarrette Blount as their guy. Prior to that, Marshawn Lynch in 2013. Okay, Marshawn Lynch, legit.
Yep.
Hard to argue against.
Probably that. Have to go back to him to say, boy, that's the bell cow. That's the one bell cow out of the last 5 years.
Ray Rice in 2012. Good running back at that point. I don't think that was his peak.
Right.
Ahmad Bradshaw in 2011. Nothing
peace.
Special.
Peace.
Nothing special there.
A piece.
2010 for the Packers. Brandon Jackson and James Starks. Holy smokes.
Who? I forgot who Brandon Jackson was. I had to go look him up.
Right.
He had almost 800 yards rushing that year.
You remember Starks, but you don't remember Jackson.
2009, Pierre Thomas, Mike Bell, Reggie Bush. Decent group of guys, but
decent
not
group,
anybody
but
who's making $15 million a year.
But they were like what the Patriots were with Blunt, White, and Lewis. Because you had guys
Reggie Bush
that were
had
different faceted. Right.
But he'd had 200 yards that year.
Right.
2008 was the Steelers with Willie Parker and Mwelde Moore. 2007, oh, I hate to bring that up, sorry. Giants had Brandon Jacobs, not Brandon Jackson, who we just talked about, Brandon Jacobs, and then also
Jacobs is a big boy.
Derek Ward.
Yeah. Derek Ward.
Joseph Addai in 2006 and Dominic Rhodes. Joseph Addai was pretty good at
real,
that time.
Real quick, though, too, the other starter in the Super Bowl that year was Lawrence Maroney.
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus.
2005, Willie Parker and Jerome Bettis. Those are legit running backs. Parker was really good at that point in time, but he was not someone who was getting a big, giant contract. I don't think he ever cashed in, did he?
He had a big run there.
Did Willie Parker ever cash in? I don't think he did.
No, but he had a big run in that game.
Corey Dillon in 2004. That's a guy who's a veteran. Yeah,
clock killing Corey Dillon.
Again, good running back, of course, but not a break the bank type of running back.
Right.
Antoine Smith in 03, Antoine Smith in 01 for the Patriots, both of those times. In between were the Buccaneers with Michael Pittman. And you can count Mike Allstott if you want. I mean, the guy in the backfield, he was a fullback, but
Sean Alexander.
He was a second leading rusher.
He was a monster. And then Jamal Lewis in 2000.
A real back.
Yeah. Some good names in here. But
you're going back 18 years.
Here's a question. Is anyone winning a Super Bowl because they have Todd Gurley?
No.
Is anyone winning a Super Bowl because they have Saquon Barkley?
No. What they're looking at is, okay, we have Todd Gurley. If Todd Gurley touches the football 17 times or more, we are 7-0 last year. Anytime he touches it less than that, we're 2-7. So what do we need to do? We need to feed Todd Gurley the ball. Todd Gurley
is that a product of him getting those leads, or is that a product of them having leads and him getting the ball late?
Could be both.
Could be both. Could be either or. But here's what I would lean more towards: you get it late because you're running the ball and you've got the lead. Like Le'Veon Bell,
You watch Pittsburgh Steelers. Le'Veon Bell makes that offense go. You don't have him, they got issues. Because you could double team.
Okay,
Antonio
let me ask
Brown.
You a question. You've got one guy you can keep: Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell.
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Too explosive.
They're going to win a Super Bowl because they have Le'Veon Bell?
No, but he gets you into the playoffs and he gets you into an AFC Championship team.
But what are we playing the game for here?
But here's my question:
What are we doing here?
When's the last time that guy popped in the playoffs? Bell. When has Le'Veon Bell carried you through the playoffs or to the playoffs?
Because it's harder when you get to the playoffs.
Thank you. Play better defenses. Yep.
It's harder when you get there. So, interesting and worthy of a discussion and worthy of pointing out, because our reaction yesterday was, yuck. You're going to pay a running back. You're going to pay him $15 million a year. That money could be so better spent. In fact, they've got a guy on their own roster they should be spending it on. Aaron Donald, who's not showing up for Rams camp. 617.
My only question is, are we behind the eight? Are we not thinking like enough in the future? Like, last year, what the Astros did with the home runs and the pitching, and it was striking out a million times, but they're winning with the home run. Is this going to happen in the NFL eventually? Is this why everyone's setting up?
Where what? It's
to have
coming
these
back.
Running backs. Well, the running back's going to take over again like they did in the 90s.
Wait till Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady are gone, and guys like Philip Rivers and Roethlisberger. What the hell are you going to do? Like I said, do you have a quarterback? Do these other teams that are signing these big contracts to running backs like the Rams, do you really believe in Goff? He had better coaching last year. But what is Goff?
Everyone's picking the Jaguars to make the Super Bowl. Who's their quarterback?
Blake Bortles. Who do they have? Leonard Fournette.
That's what I'm saying. Are we missing anything? That's my only question to this whole thing. Are we missing something?
I doubt it.
I think you have that big, bruising, good back because your quarterbacks aren't that good. I mean, unless you look at Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman, I view him as more of a scat back. He's a quick guy. So you have a lot of money invested in Devontae Freeman and Matt Ryan, you know?
617-779-0985. 90 seconds, no commercials here. We're right back on Zolak and Bertram.